Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 4, which is on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to define baptize, identify three scriptural references where it reveals what happened when people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's going to explain how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, identify the outward physical sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, explain the true evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It will list guidelines for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and list the four main objections people sometimes raise to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our key verse today is going to be found in Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse, and it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Introduction. The Bible speaks of four different baptisms. The first one is the baptism of suffering, which is experienced by Jesus. The second is the baptism performed by John the Baptist. The third is Christian baptism in water. And the fourth is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this chapter concerns the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The other three baptisms are discussed in the Harvest Time International Institute course, which is entitled Foundations of Faith. Definition. The word baptize means to completely immerse or submerge in something. Promise of the baptism. After the resurrection and prior to his return to heaven, Jesus gave important instructions to his followers. We find that in Luke 24-49, and it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The promise to which Jesus referred to was the Holy Spirit. And we find that in John 14:16-18. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." So this is not a new promise. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been promised since Old Testament times. In Isaiah 28:11-12, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, and to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." And also in Joel, 2nd chapter, verse 28, says, "And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." The evidence of the Holy Spirit. As you learned in a previous chapter, the Holy Spirit has many purposes in the lives of believers. One of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit, however, is to make the Christian a powerful witness for the gospel. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me to the uttermost parts of the earth." The true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was visible immediately in the life of the Apostle Peter. Before the day of Pentecost, he had fearfully denied that he knew Jesus, but after his baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter stood and gave a powerful witness to the gospel that resulted in the salvation of 3,000 people. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in the early church that resulted in the spread of the gospel throughout the world. The book of Acts is a record of this powerful witness, which was evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. There are several passages in the New Testament where the word baptize is used in relation to the Holy Spirit. Four of these are the words of John the Baptist recorded in the Gospels. The first one here is Matthew 3:11. It says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Mark 1:8 it says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In Luke 3:16 it says, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then John 1:33, it says, And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus also spoke of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said in Acts 1:5, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when Peter spoke of events which took place in the home of Cornelius, he quoted the words of Jesus, and that's found in Acts 11:16. It says, Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said that John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Paul also used the word baptize in relation to the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13 it says, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. Use of the phrase to baptize in the Holy Spirit is the same as used to describe Christian baptism in water. In both cases, baptism is an outward confirmation of an inward spiritual experience. The Holy Spirit was given during a time of Jewish observance called the Feast of Pentecost. And for this reason, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is often called a Pentecostal experience. In the time of the giving of the Spirit was called the Day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven and completely immersed or baptized believers assembled in the upper room of a house in Jerusalem. They had been waiting for or tarrying for his coming, as they had been commanded to do so by Jesus. And Peter said this experience was the fulfillment of God's promise in the last days, where he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This promise was given by the prophet Joel. And we find that prophecy here in Joel, the second chapter, verses 28 through 29. And it says, And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. So male and female, young and old, were to be included in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were to prophesy, dream dreams, and see visions. And God's Spirit was to empower both servants, which were men, and handmaidens, which are women, on the day the Holy Spirit was given. Peter said this in Acts 2:38-39. He says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So Peter's words revealed that the promise of the Holy Spirit was, first off, a national promise, because he says, unto you, meaning the Jewish people. Secondly, it was a family promise, where he mentioned your children. And lastly, it was a universal promise. It says, to all that are afar off. A physical sign. The Holy Spirit is invisible to the natural eye. He was compared by Jesus to the wind. We find that in John 3:8. It says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So although the wind is invisible, the effects it produces can be seen and heard. When the wind blows, the dust rises from the ground, the trees all bend in one direction, leaves rustle, the waves of the sea roar, the clouds move across the sky, These are all physical signs of the wind. So it is with the Holy Spirit. Even though he's invisible, the effects which the Holy Spirit produces can be seen and heard. There are three places in the New Testament where we are told what happened when people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The first one was on the day of Pentecost. We find that in Acts, the second chapter, verses 2 through 4. It says, this is the record of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it says this, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The second one was the house of Cornelius. That's found in Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 44 through 46. This is a record of what happened when Peter preached the gospel to a man named Cornelius and his family. It says, "While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." A third instance is number three, is the converts of Ephesus. At Ephesus in Acts 19:6, it describes what happened to the first group of converts at Ephesus. And that's Acts 19:6, and it says, "When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So a common sign, tongues. As we compare these passages, there's one physical sign which is common in all three, which of those who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they all spoke with other tongues. Other natural signs of the Holy Spirit are mentioned, but none of these were evident on all three occasions. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and visible tongues of fire were seen. These were not recorded in the other two occasions. At Ephesus, the new converts prophesied. This is not mentioned as having occurred on the day of Pentecost in the house of Cornelius. The one outward sign which apostles observed in the experience of Cornelius and his household was that they spoke with tongues. This physical sign was proof to the disciples that this family had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. From these biblical records, we can conclude that the physical sign of speaking in tongues through the power of the Holy Spirit confirms that a person has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The sign of tongues can be languages known to man, and that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that was Acts 2, verses 7 and 8. It says, "And they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we each one speak in our own language wherein we were born?" So tongues can also be a language not known to man, and this is called unknown tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." Purposes for tongues. The sign of tongues received through the baptism of the Holy Spirit has many purposes in the lives of believers. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians 14 in your Bible. These are some of the purposes of tongues. The first one is a prayer to God, as found in verse 2. Then self-edification, which is building up yourself and increasing spiritual knowledge. That would be verse 4. Then when interpreted, they edify the church, verses 12 and 13. They're used for intercession, verse 14. Also, that's mentioned in Romans 8th chapter, the 26th through the 27th verse. It's assigned to unbelievers, verse 22. It's a fulfillment of prophecy, verse 21. And also, you can find that in Isaiah 28, 11 through 12. And it's also involved in praise. And that's verses 15 and 17. Objections to tongues. Some people object to speaking in tongues, and these are some of the objections that they might raise. They say that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. So one of the most common objections is that every Christian receives the Holy Spirit when he is converted. He does not need any further experience to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But consider the examples of the people in the New Testament who were true believers. The apostles have repented of their sins and believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and they had witnessed personally and accepted as true facts of his death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus told his followers in Luke 24 through 49, chapter 24, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued from power on high." He also said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So the promised experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Although the apostles were already Christians, it was not until the day of Pentecost that they were filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. The people of Samaria heard the gospel preached. They believed and were baptized in water, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. It says, "And now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who were come down, and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." And that's found in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. So the people of Samaria received salvation through the ministry of Philip. They received the Holy Spirit through the ministry of Peter and John. Receiving the Holy Spirit was a separate experience from receiving salvation. In Acts 19, verses 1 through 6, it describes how Paul went to the city of Ephesus and met people described as disciples. The first question Paul asked was, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" If people receive the Holy Ghost when they receive salvation, it would be foolish for Paul to ask this question. The fact that he asked makes it clear that the people became believers without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even if a person received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time he's converted, it is still a separate experience from salvation. As you previously learned, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit can be observed from the very creation of the world. The Old Testament speaks of the Holy Spirit coming on Israel's spiritual leaders. The Holy Spirit is also operative in the life of a sinner to bring him to Christ. But these ministries of the Holy Spirit are different from being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus made that clear when he said this in John 14, 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you presently, and shall be in you in the future." So the Holy Spirit was with the disciples at that time, but not yet in them. They were filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is with the sinner to draw him to Jesus Christ, but this is not the same as being in him. In the Old Testament times, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon spiritual leaders at special times, and in the New Testament, this power was given permanently to believers. The Holy Spirit was with the spiritual leaders of the Old Testament times, but he was not yet in them. This is the difference between Old and New Testament ministries of the Holy Spirit. Do all speak with tongues? Another objection to tongues has come through misunderstanding of a question of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 12:30, he asks, "Do all speak with tongues?" The answer to his question is no. All do not speak with tongues, but Paul is not speaking here of the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This discussion concerns the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which can be used by the believer in the church. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath yet set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues." So Paul is speaking of gifts which can be used by members of the church. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is diversities of tongues. It is an ability to give a special messages to the church in tongues through the power of the Holy Spirit. Although everyone experiences the sign of tongues when baptized in the Holy Spirit, not everyone receives the special gift of diversities of tongues. And this subject is discussed further in chapter number 9. Fear. Some believers do not seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they are afraid they will receive an experience that's not of God. But the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if he ask his son for bread, will give him a stone? And if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And that's Matthew 7:7-11. So if a believer asks God for something, just like a good earthly father, God will not let him receive anything that will harm him. Emotional experience. Another objection to tongues is that it is an emotional experience. Many believers who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit emphasize their own emotional reactions to the experience. Man is an emotional creature. Conversion to Jesus Christ does not eliminate man's emotions. He will still experience joy and sorrow, and conversion frees man's emotions from the control of sin, and it directs these emotions to worship God. The word joy in Scripture is closely associated with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13:52, we read the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Some people react in great emotion to the joy which comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they're naturally more emotional than others. They may shout or laugh or experience sensations in their physical bodies, but these emotional reactions are not the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The confirming sign is the speaking in tongues. The evidence is power. It is not necessary to show great emotion such as laughing or shouting or dancing, etc., to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How one reacts emotionally to the joy this experience brings is often related to his individual emotions. But you should not criticize those that have a joyful emotional reactions to the Holy Spirit. The Bible records emotional reactions of those who had powerful experiences with God. People trembled, they fell prostrate to the ground, shouted, rejoiced, and danced before God. It's interesting to observe the emotional reaction of people in various athletic events. They will yell, laugh, jump up and down, and express much excitement over a sports game. How much more excited we should be over a gift like the Holy Spirit, which accomplishes so many purposes in our lives, brings great joy, and equips us with the power to reach the world with the gospel. The psalmist David agreed. He presents a picture of a joyful, loud, emotional worship to God. He says this in Psalms 95:1-3. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." And in Psalms 150:3-6, it says, "Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." You do not have to fear that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause you to do something improper or that you're going to lose control of yourself. Paul said there are times to keep silent and to hold your peace in regards to speaking in tongues, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 14. He would not make these statements that the Holy Spirit caused people to be out of control. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 14:32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." This means that any gift God gives us is subject to or under our control or the control of the user. God does nothing improper. For 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Receiving the Holy Spirit. The following are guidelines for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First off, you want to repent and be baptized. Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2:38. Next, you want to believe that it's for you. Acts 2:39 says, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You also should desire it. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's John 7:37 through 39. Then you want to accept it as a gift. The Holy Spirit has already been given. It's already been given to the church on the day of Pentecost. Because it's a gift, you can do nothing to earn it. Acts 2:38 says the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in Galatians 3, 2, and 5, and verse 14, it says, This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Ye therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth heed the works of the law, or by hearing of faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So begin to praise and thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yield to God. Yield your tongue to God in praise. And as you praise Him audibly, you may first experience stammering lips. As you continue to yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, He will speak through you words foreign to your understanding. This is the confirming physical sign of the Holy Spirit baptism. Because in Isaiah 28:11 it says, For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And in Acts 2:4 it says, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Request the prayers of other believers. The Holy Spirit can be received through the laying on of hands. Acts 8:9 and 19, or without the laying on of hands, according to Acts 2:4 and 10. So study these chapters, which show how Spirit-filled believers can help you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Importance of the experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is important because it enables you to become a powerful witness for the gospel of Christ. Mark 16:17-18 says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the Holy Spirit also gives special spiritual gifts and develops spiritual fruit in your life. These gifts and fruit are the subject of the remaining chapters of this study. So go ahead, please, and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.